In the book of Exodus, the chosen people are held in bondage in Egypt until an angel passes over the houses where the lintels were marked with the blood of a lamb. And the Jews began their mighty escape as their captors were put to confusion at the sudden death of their children. As soon as that avenging angel passed over those houses, the Israelites began to pass over from slavery to freedom, crossing the Red Sea and marching over to the land of milk and honey. God decided that he was going to intervene in human affairs to free one race of people. But that was the foreshadowing of an even greater liberation, a more dramatic passing over. Because in the fullness of time, God becomes one of us, like us in all things but sin. And then, in the ultimate proof of his love, he took our sins upon himself. He was both the priest who offered himself to the Father in our place, as well as the victim that was sacrificed. How could we stand by just a few days ago on Good Friday and watch as our Savior hung on the cross? We knew the words of the Lord. Greater love has no man than he laid down his life for his friends. And I think any of us can look at that scene and honor such a total gift of self. But is there not just, if we were to tell the truth, a little bit of an unbeliever deep down inside of all of us who looks at the dying Jesus and says, "If he be the King of the Jews, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him." Yet, had he yielded to those insults, how would he have ever have taught us that patience which brings us all good things? He waited for a little while longer, bore more outrages, and submitted to mockery. But you know, it was a far greater thing for him to rise from the dead than it would have been to come down from the cross, which was the instrument that proved his total self-gift for us. Yet the women who had followed him in his public life did not know that he had already risen when they went to that borrowed tomb, bringing with them sweet spices. Those spices were more than just a traditional burial custom for a man they loved. They were signs of the perfume of their holiness. Their virtue in good works animated by faith and compassion meant that they were given the grace to see angels at the tomb. They were given a glimpse beyond the pain and suffering of the last days of their beloved friend in order to see citizens of heaven itself. He is not here. He is risen. The angel announces tidings of great joy, for heaven would now be open not merely to angels, but once again to all of the children of Adam and Eve, that heaven would be open once again for you and for me. For this time there was no avenging angel ignoring blood of animals, but God himself, the messenger of mercy, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He passed over from death to life, and not merely from slavery to freedom. He goes before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him as he told you. St. Gregory the Great reminds us that Galilee means passing over. And so Jesus passes over from the city of his death into a new country, and from that country to heaven itself. Remember the angels that guarded the earthly paradise of Eden when Adam and Eve were expelled in their shame? Well, now Christ, the Anointed One, opens the gates to the eternal paradise of heaven, where there is no more guilt and there can never be any more shame. The men and women who have come into full communion with the Catholic Church this Easter, all around the world, and all of us who share our Catholic faith, are signed with the blood of the Lamb. By the sprinkling of that water which purifies them and makes them irrevocably children of God and heirs to heaven. They have been signed, sealed, and delivered with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and sent out as angels themselves with this credible message of mercy to a world that needs it so much. They have passed over from this world to the next, and now are found worthy to feast at the sacred banquet of heaven, anticipated in this world, here and now, under the sacramental signs of bread and wine. The body offered up for them on the cross, every single drop of blood shed for them on Calvary, is their true meat and their true drink. But that body is now glorious and risen, and their bodies and souls will also on the last day be called to be glorious and risen as well. My friends, this is what we have to look forward to. This is our hope, and this is our ultimate reality. It is time for all of us to pass over from mortality to immortality, from infirmity to incorruption, from death to life. He gives light to our understanding and strength to our weakness. We are told that when he rose, many of the bodies of the saints who had slept arose. For his resurrection is the pledge of ours as well. Now is the time to cast off the works of darkness and to stand before the empty tomb with the fragrant incense of our virtues and our good works that are the fruit of a living faith. Our Lord has passed over and is risen from the dead. He invites us to follow him, so that we may reign with him and the Father and the Holy Spirit in glory, now and forever, and to the ages of ages.